Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take my mind and think through it. Take my heart and set it on fire for your holy gospel. Amen.
Amen.
When my son Conrad was a young boy, I think probably somewhere in the sixth grade, he became very active in the acolyte program. Loved everything about the church. We were certain he was going to be a priest. That did not happen. But I will never forget that one Sunday afternoon, Conrad used to come out with me to the hospitals following church and wait outside while I visited parishioners and brought them communion. And we would always stop somewhere to have a bagel and coffee and juice. And as we were sitting there, out of the blue, he looked at me with those innocent eyes, and he said, "You know, Dad, all of the acolytes are afraid of you." And I was stunned and asked, how could they be afraid of me? Because I really, you know, thought I was really nice and never lost my temper and never yelled and never even was careful about correcting. And so I looked at him and I said, "What do you mean?" And without pausing a moment, he answered, "Wouldn't you be afraid of you?" And I've thought of that many times, because what I really think that my son was pointing to was the desire of the acolytes to do everything in the liturgy well and please me. It's the same desire that all of us have in life, wanting to please others. It's a natural part of what it means to be human. And so I want you to listen again to this morning's collect for this 16th Sunday after Pentecost, which gives us the theme, if you will, for this Sunday, the collected understanding of the readings. It says, "O God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts." That prayer that we opened up today's liturgy with points to the obvious truth that we cannot please someone with whom we have no relationship. We cannot please God if our relationship with God is weak, perfunctory, or even non-existent. And obviously, there's a part of this where I'm preaching to the choir, if you will, because you made the effort to be here this day. Because if we are to please God, then we must be intentional about this relationship, a relationship that must always come first in our lives, before any other. The lesson before us in Mark's gospel is one of the great passages about Jesus' life and ministry. We cannot imagine that Jesus' question to Peter and his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" has anything to do with his concern for what people think about him. Jesus is not concerned about what the popular opinion is about his ministry or personhood or divinity. Rather, this question is both messianic and human. Jesus is on the one hand asking his disciples, those closest to him, if they comprehend at this point who he is. And on the other hand, it is a beautifully human question, where we perhaps catch a glimpse of Jesus struggling in his own mind, in his own being, with his call and identity before God. This is the time that Jesus is traveling with his disciples toward the village of Caesarea Philippi. It's the journey that takes place following the miracles of the loaves and fishes and the healing of the blind man. And it is, right at this point, a pivotal moment in the ministry of Jesus, as it is the event where the Apostle Peter, who's been with him now from the beginning, confesses Jesus to be the Anointed One. In Greek, in that translation, the Greek translation, it is, "You are the Christ." And if we read it in Hebrew, it is, "You are the Messiah." And as soon as that is said, Jesus then tells his disciples, those closest to him, about his fate. He tells them what is about to happen to him. "Who do people say that I am?" Can you not find both comfort and identification with his question? Jesus wants his life, his ministry, to be pleasing to God. I've not inundated you in my first year here with one of my favorite writers and essayists, Ralph Waldo Emerson. However, today I subject you. In Essay 9, Emerson writes the following: "The philosophy of 6,000 years has not searched the chambers and magazines of the soul. In its experiments, there has always remained, in the last analysis, a residuum it could not resolve. Humanity is a stream whose source is hidden. Our being is descending into us from whence we know not. I am constrained," he concludes, "every moment to acknowledge a higher origin for events than the will I call mine." We, like Jesus Christ, know that hidden source to be God. I know that you know that. And I know that you struggle with the same question no matter where you find yourself in life, whether you are 5 or whether you are 95. You struggle with the question, "Who do people say that I am?" Because at its heart, it is our yearning to please God and know God's purpose for our life, to have a life with purpose, a life that, in the final analysis, is not half-lived. You and I are striving to have our wills joined with the will of Jesus Christ, not only as individuals, but as a community of faith at St. John's. And the highest knowledge that you can attain of yourself is when you are striving to have your will joined with the infinite will of God. And I believe that the starting point for this is found in those simple words that Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter boldly responds and confesses Jesus as the Messiah. Do you say that to Jesus? "Who do people say that I am? Lord, I know you are the Messiah." Because when you make such a claim, it means that your life witnesses to the fact, in the way that you live it out, in the places that you choose to serve, in the places that you choose to populate, it says that, in fact, Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. This is not easy. Peter objects, and Jesus responds, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Well, Peter objects. He knows what it is to take up a cross. He has seen people walking past him carrying crosses on their way to be executed for what they have done or what the Roman Empire has claimed they have done. They were not popular words then, and they're not popular words today in the 21st century. Taking up our cross, joining our will with the divine will, becoming all that God would have you be. These three are at the heart of the question, who do people say that I am? So in the middle of the season of Pentecost, as fall is now in the air, the days are becoming shorter. We come to the lifelong question, who do people say that I am? Who do people say that you are? Find comfort in these words of Jesus, the person, and simultaneously be challenged by these very same words of Jesus, the Messiah. Take up your cross. Join your will with God's will. Become all that the divine would have you become. Amen.